with it, John Krilish, Sherry Elicker Show. Sherry back tomorrow. Greg Tomlin in. Thank you, Aaron. Oh, yeah. Joe's having to deal with a teeny tiny lady over there. She's trying to find the letter of the day. She has to collate him, and then she's got to staple him, and then get the best one. You're writing to us at 1-888-973-5476. The Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Down below, we got some dough. Wow, yeah. All right. I don't know the order. Sorry to splash you there. Let's do this one. Let's take care of the Trump bloodbath first. I mean, I know the media's got a bias, but I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just taking something completely out of context. There's a couple things they love. They love good people on both sides. They love that one. They distorted that one. If you took the thing and you read the whole thing of everything that he said, you're like, okay. But they love to go to that one. And then they do the bloodbath one. So the bloodbath, if you read it, and they know most people don't read past the first headline or even the first paragraph. Sometimes you got to go, you know, five paragraphs in or something, or just not put it in context. Mm-hmm. So every headline, if you're walking through the airport, you're forced to watch CNN or your local, you know, gym or something, and there is up there, it'll say Trump declares bloodbath if not elected. So you're thinking it's going to, people are going to be taking up arms, right? You're going to be watering the tree of liberty with blood.
Is media malfeasance, absolutely. This was at a speech in Dayton, Ohio, and you're exactly right. Certain progressives in the media know they can grab a snippet and make it something Trump said out to be more outrageous than it really is.
Like ABC?
We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the...
While discussing the economy... He said there'd be a bloodbath if not elected.
...event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence. But even Republicans like former Vice President Mike Pence, who says he will not endorse Trump, are defending his bloodbath comment, saying he was referring to imports hurting the automobile industry.
Which is true.
That's the story. The story is...
Yes. He was talking about the Chinese setting up automobile factories in Mexico, which they're doing. And he said, if you try to import cars from Mexico, we're going to slap 100% tariff on it. That's the context of these comments. I don't know if we have them, Joe.
34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country, think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think, they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories.
Okay, John, so up to this point, it sounds like I've been defending these comments from Trump. Here's what I'll add to this conversation, a bit of nuance. I will say that Trump has often exploited the ambiguity in his own comments. On January 6th, he constantly said, you got to fight like hell. You got to fight like hell. 30 minutes later, I want it to be peaceful. I want it. So his most ardent, fervent base camp, here's we got to fight. And then they go break windows at the Capitol and break in. And then he goes, no, I called for it to be peaceful. So he loves the kind of
well, he's not careful
gray
with his
areas.
Words.
He's not. Well, obviously, that's true.
But they had already, while he was still speaking, there were already a bunch of people that were down at the Capitol. They're marching down there because then he also said, we're going to march down there. We're going to be able, we're going to peacefully march down there and let them know. But politicians use fight all the time. I'm going to fight for the common. You know, fight is always being used. I get it. He's not careful with his words, but I don't think necessarily the people ended up hearing him say that and all ran down there and broke in.
Right. Okay. I understand your point. I actually think the main takeaway from this speech in Dayton, Ohio, was how the event opened, which was he played the January 6 convicts singing the national anthem, called them hostages repeatedly, and called them great American patriots. That's way worse than saying there's going to be a bloodbath right. in the economy if he's not elected. Yes. And I was outraged by that. And unfortunately, the stupid media running in a different direction with his comments have completely destroyed what I think is actually more important things that he said at the beginning,
that,
which are deeply troubling.
I've heard of that, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't
know
so
exactly
either.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it was deeply disturbing because I thought, wait, he's flipping the script on this. He's now praising these people that have been convicted of crimes on January 6th and is probably going to get them all out of jail if he's reelected. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely disturbing for me to hear. But unfortunately, idiots in the media went, he said the word bloodbath. He's calling for a civil war. No, you're lying about that. And now that's the gist of the speech.
He's not careful with his words.
Yes.
That's one of his biggest problems.
Agreed.
No, just say it. That's it. The fact that the House overwhelmingly passed this TikTok ban, it's going back to the Senate. It looks like there's a few that'll hold out, but probably not enough. Biden is reading a script that says that he will pass it. So Rand Paul has news on it. And I was reading a Matt Taibbi piece, and he said, you know, it's not about the TikTok thing. It's the extra stuff that's in there, which basically just at a certain point gives the president a whole bunch of power.
He's saying the measure's too broad.
Way too broad. He said the same thing had happened, you know, right after the attack at 9/11, where the Patriot Act comes into place. And they put all of this stuff in there that if you might have somehow been aiding and abetting or write something that might help Al-Qaeda, you know, and it was just way too just it was poorly written, a poorly written law. You know, you hear Justice Roberts talk about this all the time. If you wrote better laws, if you're more careful with your words, you wouldn't have to try to figure out what you meant by state when it comes to Obamacare. In this case, the thing is, as Rand Paul's pointing out, you don't want to give this kind of power to the president of the United States. You don't want to give this power to the mm-hmm. government when it comes to free speech. So everybody's freaking out about TikTok, but it looks like they're going to have this thing and the government is going to be able to determine whether or not you're putting something out there that might cause problems. And the president will have this power. If you're really concerned about Donald Trump, if he gets back in there again, he could shut down social media.
Yeah, he's saying any president now could shut down a site that they find unfavorable on a whim. Okay, but my takeaway from this is a slightly different in that I think this is the process playing out like it should. So the House passes this bill. How many of them actually read what they voted for in detail? Yeah. Don't know the answer to that. Nevertheless, it now goes to the Senate. And in the meantime, you have journalists like Matt Taibbi reading the thing and going over it with a fine-tooth comb and going, wait, this language is kind of problematic here. So great, he's doing the job of a journalist well, according to you.
Yes.
But now the Senate still needs to vote on this thing. As far as I understand it, they could always send it back to the House, or it could get voted down, and they could say, you need to tighten up this language a little bit before we take a look at it as senators. There's clearly some problems here. Clean up the language and have another go at it. I still think that it's worthwhile to force TikTok to divest or be banned in the United States. But we're, you know, again, getting into some of the devils in the details aspects of this, which is good. I think that's a healthy thing.
I have no problem with them being concerned about China. It's the additional stuff that they stuck in there.
Yeah.
It's giving the power back to the government to stop people. We already know the case in Missouri when it came to the United States using social media as proxy to stop people from expressing ideas during the COVID lockdown. And there's new breaking news on that as well. And the Supreme Court's ruling in on that one. But the freak out from all of these TikTok folks, like,
the only thing all 535 members of Congress can agree on is to,
who's this guy getting all
language
upset?
He's a influencer.
Ban TikTok. That's it. That's the only thing. I heard him talking about raising the minimum wage. Can't agree on that. Heard him talking about trying to keep prescription drug prices low for people. Nope, can't agree on that. I heard him talking about the border. Can't agree. Can't even agree where the border is.
Wow.
But
that's really
when
upset.
It comes to banning TikTok, line up, buddies. Bring that Instagram and Microsoft money down here.
Yeah.
Line it up here in our lobby. Oh, let me eat it up.
Okay, I don't want to listen to this guy.
Forget ByteDance and the CCP. Let's ban TikTok because of this guy.
It's a kettle boiling because he's steaming mad.
Oh, I get it.
Mad God. Okay, thank
it's
you.
Very clever.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
You're not buying that guy's argument, John?
No, how much money do people like, oh, I've invested so much time. Yeah, I think you pay $500 to get yourself a TikTok thing, and then you're going to get $1 million if you do. They say the TikTok numbers are not true anyway, and you're running some business off of TikTok. Sorry. Somebody else will take it over. Someone else will run the thing. China doesn't have the power. Yeah, somebody else. If it has value, which it does have value, somebody's going to buy it and they're going to run it. Influencers, don't be upset. You're going to be able to sit there and talk about your weird, bizarre mental illness, and people are going to support you. So
exactly
it's coming back.
But back to your point on the bill, I read statements from both AOC and Matt Gaetz, and how much do those two normally agree on?
Yeah.
And they're both saying the exact same thing. Like, this should not, cannot pass. This is a bad bill. And it's
same with Nancy Mace, Ro Khanna. Right. Yeah. And it's interesting to see where representatives and senators have fallen on this. Yeah, it's surprising in some cases, in fact.
I assume you don't have a TikTok account.
Your assumption is correct. Neither do my kids.
They think influencers are losing.
It's awful.
The influencers are losing power.
You think so?
Yeah, I read a piece.
150 million users would disagree.
Well, the influencers are slowly losing. But there's two things that are happening. One, when it comes to Instagram. Instagram people are putting stuff up on Instagram aren't putting up as much as they used to. Because what happens is they put it up and they don't get as many views. And they start to realize, oh, these other Instagram people, these influencers and stuff, are getting, you know, tens of thousands or a million views or something. So, like, well, why should I bother? Because it's become more kind of professional. And it now has, they're like, I can't put the time into it to make the edits and put the music in and everything. So no one's watching my reels. So I'm getting a negative feedback loop. So I'm not as likely. So a bigger percentage of people that were putting stuff up aren't putting stuff up. So then just a smaller section of people are putting things up.
I will say my wife and I have had ongoing conversations over the years about posting stuff online. And this is not a judgment of anybody else. This is just what we decided together. But, you know, you get that feeling when you're on vacation or you see something really cool and you take this great picture. Say you're in Maui or something and you're on the beach. There's like this insatiable urge of this must be posted. But then we would like sort of psychoanalyze each other back and forth and be like, why must we post this?
Yes.
What is the purpose this is serving in the grand scheme of things, where posting this will lead to some kind of positive outcome either for us or others? And at the end of the day, the more we psychoanalyze each other, we were like, it kind of just seems self-indulgent, or like, look at me, or look at this great time I'm having and you're not. Do 400 of my closest friends need to see what I'm looking at right at this? I don't think they do. Maybe a family member or two that knows me and knows me deeply. Other than that, I think you're correct,
John. What's
the
difference between that and postcards? Remember postcards? You'd be there and you get the picture of the beach. And
you wouldn't send that to 400 people. You'd send it to two people in your family, perhaps.
Like $1.50.
Or a dear friend, and it'd have a handwritten accompanied letter that let them know you were thinking about them and you cared about them. And lately, I've just resisted the urge. To your point, I've posted less and less and less. Every once in a while, I'll say, hey, I'm guest hosting here. I've got this thing going on at work. You know, tune in. But other than that, no pictures of my kids anymore, no vacation photos. And it feels like the people that I see who are posting incessantly, I'm like, what's the deal with that? Why do they constantly need to let me know that they're out there having a great time? I actually think that the reality might be opposite from what they're posting.
Well,
they're trying to convince me they're having a great time.
And that's what it's become, which is unfortunate, because what you described, just showing your family members or your friends your pictures of your vacation or having a nicely organized set of memories for you to look back on later, was kind of the original intent. And now it's just been overrun by influencers,
right,
like you say.
And putting filters on. So
trying to monetize
even
every single aspect of your life.
Let me run an idea by you. This guy explained to me. He said, you know what? I think it's sister-in-law, puts negative stuff out there. This sad stuff happened to me. This sad stuff happened to me. This horrible thing is happening to me. And then she gets responses back, which, you are so strong. You are so great. You are doing really well. Stay there. Be strong. You know, push back against the haters. So he said, I think it gets into a negative reinforcing loop where then she only puts negative stuff out. So then she gets positive stuff back. So then she lives in this negative world where she's always being victimized by someone else because in the end she gets positive stuff. Mm. So you're not looking to make, you're not put, don't put anything positive out there. It's easier to find negative stuff than positive stuff. So she just keeps filling the tube with just
yes.
And then gets back people going, wow, you are so strong.
That's all I see on Facebook is the people like vague posting like, oh, something horrible happened, but they won't say what it is, yet they get all of that. Yet, like,
yeah,
you know, it's sad, but I think these are just like weird psychological side roads that social media has taken that people just didn't expect.
And it's taken us a few years to kind of realize what it's done to
us.
We were
new,
all guinea pigs originally. Right. And now we're reassessing and reflecting, which I think is a healthy exercise. I've only ever really gone viral once on Twitter. I posted a video of like a Ghostbusters thing, and I used it to diss Democrats. Ted Cruz retweeted it, had like 20,000 likes and retweets. And I'm telling you, it gives you this insane adrenaline rush, right? Like, I'm somebody, like a U.S. senator just retweeted me, right? And then the next 2 days, all I could think about was how to do it again.
Right.
It was completely rewiring my brain chemistry to be like, that felt really good. What other kind of like cruel or mean digs could I take in a very hyper-partisan way that might get another senator to throw me out there to the world? And then I went, whoa, I'm scaring myself actually with how much this is changing.
Right. It's the addiction of celebrity.
Yeah.
In an instant, and it can happen at the snap of a finger in this day and age.
Well, I still remember Greg Abbott, Texas governor, said, whatever you're doing, stop right now and watch this video. And that was about something that I put out.
Really?
And, oh, nice.
And but I did not get caught up in it because I thought he didn't watch
it. Oh, you're a bigger man than I.
Well, not physically. Wilcox. Family Farm Eggs. Just think about it. Right now, I'd love to be able to have a Wilcox Family Farm Egg, like a hard-boiled egg with a little bit of salt on it.
I go scrambled every time. And here's an orthodox move. Put a little American cheese on top of that.
Wow.
Disagree?
Fascinating.
Oh, I'm in.
Don't make fun of my way to get
an egg or, you know, being the you know, the guy who's pushing them out.
Come on.
That's right. Thank you, Professor.
Are you saying I sound like Biden?
No, it's just, it was Biden talking about
I was either rolling an egg or, you know, being the you know, the guy who's pushing them out.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Obviously.
No joke. It's not hyperbole. I want to congratulate Joe for doing this. I sent Joe a video, and then he put a bunch of hashtags on it. Went up on our Instagram page, at John and Sherry Show. Sherry, S-H-A-R-I. And then I was like, oh, look at that. 1,000 people looked at it. And I looked again. Joe wrote, no, more. Like 2,000, 3, 4, now 10, 30,000. It's up to 270-some thousand people. I'm like, I mean, not that I don't appreciate people looking at it, but I'm like, why?
Talk about an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, right.
I only put it up because I wanted to send it to somebody else.
Yeah, you were just showing me on Thursday.
Right, just showing, here's what the barn looks like. That's like 250,000 people. I go, why do they look at it? What's the point? And then it was shared by all these people. But the other crazy thing is, of all the people that looked at it, nobody followed. They just, I still am clunking along at like 2,000 or whatever. But it's that thing we were just talking about.
It
the
is,
idea
right.
that all of a sudden you get, oh, people looked at something.
So Curly's quarters have gone super mega colossal viral in the past couple days. I have to say, I did watch the video twice, showed it to my wife once. So we're responsible for at least 3 of those views. But I think it's fascinating to try to think about what made this thing take off and why it took off so quickly. I think part of it is it's just a really cool setting, and you go through the house and outside so quickly.
I think it helped.
We just get little glimpses of stuff, and we kind of go, wait, no, I want more of that. But then you get a new discovery behind this door. And then also, I think there's an aspect to this that appeals to our MTV Cribs part of our brain.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which, do you ever watch that show, Joe,
course,
back in the day? It was the greatest. They go to celebrities' houses. They'd be like, here's my bedroom. And you'd be like, I want that bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, here's my pool. And then we all get to fantasize about what we would do with that kind of setup. And I think that's part of why it went super viral.
People like
as well.
To see how people's houses are. There's 197,000 people. They don't know who I am. That's the non-followers.
Right.
And then the followers, 300. 336. Thank you.
So wild.
And then people that, yeah. And then I wrote a few people back because I said, oh, I thought you lived in a cabin without any running water. Yeah, I had a cabin with no indoor plumbing. The thing burned down. I had to find some other place. I found this one and I wanted to turn it into this wedding venue.
Yeah.
I don't like living in it because it's too big. It's nothing cozy about it. It's like living in
it's
a barn.
Harming,
it is
yeah.
a barn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I tried to find these little areas where it can kind of like, you know, curl up and read a book. But it's like living in a hotel, which people, what are you complaining about that? But it doesn't feel like a house. It feels like a venue. So I'm living in this venue, and that's what it is. The second floor is even crazier.
That's why you and Nick will go stay in the tiny home.
I love staying in the tiny house.
Yeah.
We got that for like $50,000. That's down the street. That's perfectly fine. I don't need any more room than 215 square feet. But this thing is just this giant barn,
right?
And we parked our cars in there because we didn't have another place to put them. but when the people came by, the lady from the county's like, so is this a garage? I'm like, I guess so. It's got cars in it.
So let's get inside Curly's cranium for a moment here. Eh. And I told you what happened to me when a tweet of mine went viral because a senator sent it out to all his followers and I got 20,000 likes. Oh my gosh.
Heard it. Move on.
You said there's a second level to this house that is even more spectacular. Are you thinking I got to parlay this into another viral video?
Yes.
I'm going to go sweeping through that other aspect
because
of the
house. Can't monetize it at all. I realize
eventually you could.
No. It's like it didn't
give you the dopamine hits that you've always longed for. No, that's what it does.
It did a little bit. You can be honest.
It does a little bit. I just looked at the numbers like, why is it going up so much?
Right.
The first time I ever experienced that like blast of social media stuff, this is in 2002. This is during the Salt Lake Winter Olympics. And I came up with a solo patch. So Apollo Ono was going to be skating, and they said no posters, no flags, no nothing for security purposes inside the big stadium, the indoor stadium, when he was going to be skating for the gold for, I think it was the fast speed track, whichever one it was. So we had gotten notice that no more posters. So I went to Joanne Fabrics. May it rest its soul. I think they're out of business now. And I bought like $40 or $50 worth of fur, little teeny fur. And I made a bunch of soul patches. I made more than 2,000 soul patches. I did this all night. I'm cutting it with this AccuKnife and I put double stick tape on the back of it. And I show up the day of the race. So I'm there and there's this great big guy and he's got an M16. He walks over to me. He's got the bulletproof vest on. He goes, what's in the bag? I said, I made little soul patches for everybody to put on their chin for Apollo Ono. Give me the bag. I said, please. I was up all night making these. I made these things all night. Look at my hands. Look at my hands. Give me the bag. It's like, oh, why? Why? Give me the bag. It's like, okay. So he takes it. Now, in order to enter the arena there to watch Apollo Ono skate for the gold, you had to go through a metal detector. So as the people came through the metal detector, he'd go, American? They're like, yes. Put out your hand. They put their hand out, and he would take one of the soul patches and put it in their hand.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So when Bob Costa did the
game,
Bob Costa goes, well, it looks like Apollo Ono fever is spreading. And as the camera panned across the crowd, everybody had the soul patches on. So all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah.
The next day, Matt and Katie on the Today Show had them on. Willard Scott had them. I mean, not Willard Scott.
Are you kidding?
They all wore them. Yeah. And then the other anchors that were covering the Olympics. I saw USA Today did a story on it. And I was like, wow.
I'm going to get rich.
What am I going to do? No, but what am I going to do next? I got to do something. But you get this thing of, like, celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was over.
It has its moment, right?
It has its moment. And they're like, you can't. What are you going to do next? You're not going to do anything next.
Yes.
But for a moment, there I had the little stupid soul patches. But the next day, the circus moves on, the train moves on, and off it goes.
So, but it is kind of fun, isn't it?
It was fun. Yeah. Because the best part of it was, I got a call from the guy that was running King 5 at the time. And he said, yeah, I don't think you should do that. Don't make it about yourself. I said, it's not about me. Yeah, let me think about it for a while. And then I'll tell you whether or not I'm going to hand them out to people. And I looked at my phone, and there was the call from the guy, my boss, the big, big guy. And I just let it go to voicemail. And I handed them out, and then everybody covered the story, and the USA Today had it, and the Today Show had it. And the next day, after the deed was done, because you only ask for permission, then permission, I get to the voicemail. Yeah, it's, change his name, Bob. And I've been thinking about it, and don't give those things out. You're just trying to make it about yourself, and I think it'd be stupid, and don't do it. And I was like, ah, you know what? Bang! Go do it yourself. Obscene,
that's an obscene gesture.
Right in your face. Yeah, screw you.
Did he give you any comment afterwards?
No.
Nothing?
No. No.
So, in summary, we're not going to be seeing John Curley's property,
yes, we
the
are.
Sequel.
Yes, we
I
are.
I want to see a sequel, folks.
We're seeing the sequel.
No, just no.
Yes.
The sequel has to be a little darker.
No, I don't want to. No, there's like no Empire time Strikes done. Back. I didn't do anything to get people. I don't care.
It's all right.
No one's coming up there.
We'll get the sequel, Greg. Don't worry.
There's no
Joe.
Sequel. How
Thank
do you
feed me?
The second floor.
How are
the second floor?
Yes, sir. That's what
saying.
We're talking about.
Make sure you clear out the personal items. You don't want to reveal too much, but I know what you got. I know what you got up there.
I'm naked.
Yeah.
Joanne's Fabrics actually filed for bankruptcy this morning.
I know. I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah. I wasn't able to help them.
That's too
that
bad.
Took a sad turn. Thanks for that, Andrew.
Thanks for bringing everybody down. Yeah. But then, you know, then Alaska Airlines, I think the next year, was giving out soul patches to people as they go to fly on the plane or something like that. I was like, hey, what about a little something coming back?
A little piece.
A little something. Get your beak wet. You know that little term? Yeah. Going to get your beak with a little something? Huh? A little something?
And you didn't get any. You didn't get any cheese.
Sing off. Somebody brought that up about you and I singing Jim Croce's Operator.
So good.
It's like old songs from the 70s.
So he was enlisted in the military and he would listen to people make calls home. It wasn't a personal song.
Okay.
It was a composite of people that he heard calling home trying to find their lovers and how they were all being cheated on and stuff. So.
Photographs and
memories.
Oh, God. Get one by you. All right. Here comes. How about this one? Here comes the mailman. Mailman.
This
now.
Is one of my all time favorites.
Here you go, by far.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman.
Don't nobody don't mess with him. Me.
I'm the mailman.
Yep.
If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. That's right. Here comes the mailman right to the door. And we'll get to the letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest. Here we go.
Gina and Chimicum on the CID voting for Trump,
yes.
The international district. To be fair, there's context about 97 votes in the ID for Trump, which is not exactly an earth-shattering number.
Mm.
But it's proportion of population.
Steve says, hey, Greg Tomlin, are you related to John Curley?
I will say there's an uncanny resemblance in body and mind.
Why is he asking that? 360-101 on the declared dead Canadian. Stay dead, dude. At this point, you don't have to pay taxes. Create yourself a new life.
Rachel in the 425. I'm sure other people have said this, but Joanne Fabrics is still in business? Exclamation point. We get a little fact checkers on that.
Chapter 11. I guess they can still operate. They're just restructuring. So.
Okay.
Still
thank,
open.
Thank you, by
thank
the way.
Thank you, fact checker on the fly.
Rachel. Thank you. Costly work mistake, 360. My worst mistake. Really, we're going to read this one?
It's a long one.
You don't have to. It is dark.
Must be really good.
Very dark.
I told you guys. You guys know.
This is a dark one.
All right, let's just move it.
The show's
it's
playful.
Too sad. It's because the person's listening.
It's morbid.
We appreciate it, and it is a horrible
mistake. About Bubba? Ooh. Is that another sad tale in the 360? Worst mistake I've made in my trade, missed the wall and drilled through the hardwood floor, and I once drilled a hole through the electric circuit to the light switch. Other mistakes I've seen my coworkers make, a tech decided to remove the customer's fire alarm system to make room for the burglar alarm. That was a $60,000 error my company paid for, and I had to fix.
But at least no one died. AI song generator. Lola 425 frequency of the sounds awakens the spirits within.
Huh.
That's why you get goosebumps or some kind of healing whenever you hear a certain song.
From the 206, also with computer-generated music, what happens to the average singers? Will every song have perfect pitch and perfect sound, making many feel too inferior to sing in front of other humans?
I hope so.
You hope so? You wish all music...
Bad singing. No, just
people
like...
could just press play?
No. Just if you can't sing, don't sing. It's just...
I agree.
Bobo 360. So with AI writing all the music, what are you going to do when you want to watch, go watch a concert? Well, if you've seen most anybody performing,
So
they're not singing live.
My family's always looking for shows that we can all watch together. And my wife and I thought, what about The Masked Singer? We've never given it a try, but maybe it's family friendly. We turn it on and there's a person in a costume holding a microphone. And I'm 99.999% sure nobody's singing anything live there. They just press play on a CD player and they act like they're singing. And I went, this is utter garbage.
I will never understand the appeal of that show.
But again, what's the proof?
We're already to the point where humans are doing less and less. And that was a perfect manifestation of it for me.
360, yo, this stuff is crazy. Are we living in the future? I'm scared.
And on Irish Tales from the 206, John, I had the same hotel story happen. My name is Arthur, and the hotel gave me a room to go in. But when I opened the door, a naked guy popped out of the closet, very confused. His name was Arturo.
I had a telling story about my brother and I looking for a summer job. And I opened this door. Chuck goes, I think that's where the manager is. And I opened the door, and I pushed him in and closed the door and held it. And there was a guy in there.
Go on.
Yeah, where is this?
Interviewing someone else on the horizontally.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay. 206, Curly. In order to be 100% Irish requires a high-level inbreeding. Conan O'Brien had a segment all about it. Oh, good. It's like a 1% holding me back from being really related to my cousin.
From the 402.
Heard it. Move on. Hee-haw, Aaron. Greg just told us he takes two cars to a child's birthday, all without saying that.
Well, as some people know, when you're married with lots of kids, oftentimes you're just ships passing in the night. Mm. So we're just going back and forth, dropping kids off wherever which way.
Okay. Jay Inslee
the rats
would be so
eating our marijuana. They're all high.
Okay.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It's your honor, my friend.
Thank you so much. John in the 360 on AI. Music or painting or anything else, like hosting radio shows. We should not lose the humanity, the spontaneity. Let's all join into throwing our wooden shoes into the cogs and gears. Sabotage! We can take this enemy out now. The more we let it grow, the harder it'll be to murder.
Mom, change the station!
There you go.
By the way,
can we get another hour? Yes.
You gotta come explain this picture to me.
What is it?
Look at this.
What are you guys doing over there?
What the hell? No, somebody photoshopped me.
Oh, that's Satise.
No way.
I don't know
what. I don't recognize that woman.
Is it John next to Kate Middleton?
I don't know.
Wow, look at that bed.
Yeah.
That's not real. That's not real.
What's real to me?
I hope it's not real.